Have you ever heard 300 round engines warming up at the same time? I am not exaggerating. I am not being dramatic. I'm telling you that the ground vibrates under your feet, and the air smells like hot oil and abgas and cut grass, and you close your eyes and you could be standing on any flight line in 1942. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar, and I need to tell you about Galesburg, Kansas, every September. This tiny town in the southeast corner of the state, population maybe 150 people on a normal day, becomes the absolute center of the biplane universe. The National Stearman Fly-In. And if you have never been, you need to fix that. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let me take you there. You fly in on a Friday morning, and the first thing you notice is the pattern. There are Stearmans everywhere. Yellow ones, blue ones, red ones, silver ones. Stearmans in navy paint, Stearmans in army paint. Stearmans that have been polished to a mirror finish, and Stearmans that still have the patchy primer from a restoration that the owner says is almost done. He's been saying that for 6 years, you know the type. We love that guy. The airport at Galesburg is not what you would call a major facility. It's a grass strip, 2,600 feet, no tower, no terminal. There is a windsock and a whole lot of Kansas sky, and that is about it. But for 1 week in September, this little grass field handles more biplane traffic than probably any airport in the country. They line them up wingtip to wingtip in the grass, and by Saturday afternoon the rows stretch so far you cannot see the end. I walked the flight line last year, and I lost count at 200 Boeing Stearman biplanes, the PT-17, the Cadet, whatever you want to call it, the airplane that taught America to fly, and I mean that literally. During World War II, more than 10,000 of these were built, and nearly every single Army and Navy pilot who went on to fly fighters and bombers in that war learned the basics in this cockpit. Open air, no radio, a Lycoming or Continental up front, depending on the variant, and nothing between you and the sky but a pair of goggles and the instructor yelling at you from the back seat. And here's the thing about this fly-in. It's not fancy. There are no corporate chalets. There are no VIP tents with champagne. There's a big white tent with folding tables, and somebody's aunt is making pancakes at 6 in the morning, and by 7:30 every seat is full of people in oil-stained khakis, talking about rigging wires and fabric dope, and whether the 7-cylinder Continental W670 or the 9-cylinder Lycoming R680 sounds better at full power. And let me tell you, that is a debate that can go on for hours. I've seen it. I've been part of it. The Continental guys are wrong, by the way. I'm kidding, mostly. But the real magic happens in the air. They do formation flights, big ones, and I do not mean four-ship fingertip. I mean 20, 30, sometimes more, Stearmans in the air at once, flying over the Kansas prairie in loose trail and echelon formations, and you stand there on the ground and you hear them coming before you see them. That low Continental rumble building and building, and then this wave of biplanes comes over the tree line, and it is honestly one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in aviation. The shadows ripple across the wheat fields, the sound fills your chest, and every single person on the ground just stops and looks up.
I talked to a guy named Bill last year. Bill is 78 years old. He has been flying his Stearman for 41 years. 41 years in the same airplane. He bought it as a basket case in 1983, rebuilt it in his barn in Missouri, and he has flown it to Galesburg every single year since 1987. Every single year. He told me he missed 1 year in 2004 because he had a hip replacement, and his wife drove him down anyway so he could sit in a lawn chair and watch the flyovers. Bill's Stearman is painted in navy yellow with a big star on the fuselage, and it is absolutely immaculate. The guy polishes the exhaust stacks. Who polishes exhaust stacks? Bill does, and that's Galesburg. It's not about spectacle. It's about devotion. These people are keeping alive an airplane that first flew in the 1930s, and they're doing it with their own hands, their own money, and their own weekends in the shop. I met a woman from Texas who trailered her Stearman 800 miles because the engine was down for an overhaul. She couldn't fly it in, but she was not about to miss the fly-in. She set up camp next to the fuselage on a trailer and told everyone her airplane was just resting. The evenings are something else.
When the flying stops and the sun starts going down, the whole field turns gold. That Kansas sunset light is unreal. People drag their lawn chairs out between the airplanes, and somebody always has a guitar, and the conversations get quieter and the stories get longer. You hear about the guy who ground-looped on arrival in 97, and the one who landed gear up at a different fly-in, and the time the crosswind got so squirrely they had to switch to the cross runway, which is really just a different strip of grass at an angle. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a favorite flight. And nobody is in a hurry. There is a parts swap every year that is legendary in the stairman community. Need a center section strut? Somebody's got one. Looking for an original placard for the front cockpit. There's a guy three rows over who pulled one from a parts hulk in Oklahoma. Interplane strut fairings, cowling latches, that weird little inspection plate on the lower wing root. Somebody has it, and if they don't have it, they know who does, and they will walk you over and introduce you. This community is absurdly generous. They want these airplanes to keep flying, all of them. The flying itself is a clinic in tailwheel technique. You want to watch people who are really good at managing a stairman on the ground. Come to Galesburg. These pilots three-point their landings on grass in a crosswind with the casual confidence of someone parking a car. And then you watch a newer stairman owner try to taxi in, and the airplane is weather-vaning, and the tail is swinging, and you can see the concentration on their face from 200 yards away, and nobody laughs. Okay, some people laugh, but they also walk over afterward and give tips. That's the culture. You land ugly, somebody buys you a coffee and tells you about the time they ground-looped in front of 300 people. The town of Galesburg itself goes all in. The locals set up food stands. There's a barbecue competition that rivals anything in Kansas City, and I will die on that hill. The volunteer fire department runs a burger stand that should frankly be nationally recognized, and the whole town just opens up. People let fly-in attendees park on their lawns, camp in their fields, use their garden hoses. It's this incredible thing where a community of 150 people welcomes 1,000 aviation enthusiasts for a week and treats every single one of them like a neighbor.
I should mention the Stairman Foundation, which runs this whole event. They are the ones keeping it organized, keeping the field safe, coordinating the formation flights, managing the camping areas, and doing all the unglamorous work that makes the magic happen. They also maintain a museum at the field with Stairman artifacts and history, and it is worth an hour of your time. Lloyd Stairman started his company in Wichita, Kansas, built this airplane, and Kansas celebrates it every year in the most honest, grassroots, no-nonsense way possible. If you're thinking about going this September, here is my advice. Fly in if you can. Obviously, if you're in a stairman, even better. But they welcome all types, except grass operations. Bring a tie-down kit because weather moves fast across the prairie. Bring a lawn chair, bring cash for the barbecue, and bring patience because the pattern can get busy and the unicom frequency gets colorful when 30 biplanes are trying to sequence for landing on a 2,600-foot grass strip. This is the kind of event that reminds you why you started flying in the first place. No glass panels, no noise-canceling headsets, just stick and rudder and sky, and the sound of a round engine doing exactly what it was designed to do 80-plus years ago. Special thanks to the Stairman Foundation and the folks at Galesburg for keeping this tradition alive. You can find more about the fly-in through the National Stairman Fly-In website and more from us at radiohanger.com. I'm Ramp. Go find a biplane and fall in love. See you next time.